Greetings to you, you and especially you. The program is Visions for Sunday, and we are so happy to know that you are there. And believe it or not, we are here. Andre Louis out of England. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Andre, tell us something about yourself. Where exactly were you born?
I was born in a quite well-known hospital in St. Mary's, Paddington, London. And my children both were born there as well. So it's kind of a family tradition, you see.
Sticking to one particular hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess you must find joy. And there must be something special about that hospital that you have stuck with it. Not only your parents with you, but when you decide to increase the population, as one fellow would say, bring about the multiplication of the population, resulting in another generation.
Mm-hmm.
You
very good.
Decide to use that hospital. What is so special about that hospital?
Well, it brings unification.
All right, you've made it. You've made it, my brother. Andre, tell our listeners exactly, what is your disability?
We don't think I was born blind. We think that I may have gone blind as a result of negligence on the fault of a nurse, because I was in an incubator for jaundice, and I kept peeling the patches off my eyes because I was a rambunctious baby. And as a result of that, I have something called optic disc hyperplasia. Don't ask me about that. I have no idea. But essentially, the optic nerve doesn't reach the back of my eye, so I can look at people and sometimes get into trouble for it because my eyes wander, you see. I have minimal control over them. But for all intents and purposes, I'm totally blind. I do not even have light perception.
Mm-hmm.
And that's me.
How old are you, brother?
32 and counting.
So it is safe to say you have been challenged with that challenge all of your life?
Yes, definitely.
It can't be that difficult for you, because if you have never been privileged to see, you don't know what the world is looking like.
I don't miss what I don't have.
Thank you very much, my brother. What was school like for you?
Initially, I attended an all-blind school, and it got shut down because there was only 20 people left. So in 1992, I went to a further education school. It was a boarding school, and my mother cried a lot. I was gone for 8 years of my life there and spent most of my time away from home, and it gave me fierce independence and all kinds of things, and I learnt a lot. And it was rather exciting, all told, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, you made it. So after leaving school, or that particular school, what was your next step in life?
I went to a further education college about 45 minutes down the train track. And let me tell you, there's some strange incidents, because I used to take a train from London to Worcester, which is about a 2.5 hour train journey. And then when I left that school in 2000, I went to this other college, as I was saying, and that was a 2 year course. But because it's on the same line, I didn't have to relearn and route to get there. And the amount of times I nearly stood up and got off at the school stop as opposed to the end of the line was quite sad, but amusing. But I didn't ever actually do it. Came close, though. I mean, I was actually at the door at one point. I said, oh, my gosh, let me go sit down again. I've got another half an hour to go. I went and studied sound engineering, and I came away with a sort of degree of sorts of sound engineering. And then I went to a university for a year called Thames Valley University in London, which I didn't enjoy very much. One of the anecdotes from that is that a teacher... We had to do a music course, and we had to do a video course in the music course. And the teacher says, when I asked him, what can I do in this, because it's all camera-based, you can stand and hold the light poles, because that's about all you're good for. And that was kind of my university life, and that ended very quickly.
How did you feel when that statement was made, hurled at you?
I was quite angry. I didn't bother complaining. I just said, right, well, at the end of this year, since that's not what I came to study, I won't bother studying. I will go off and become self-taught and become proficient at the trades that I want to be proficient at. And I did.
Mm-hmm. After you saw it fit, you decided among yourself or selves that you were going to do it your way.
Mm-hmm.
What was the first thing you attempted?
Attempted and still attempting. I've been job hunting for the last few years. However, I've had a few opportunities to do some quite interesting things, in no chronological order. I did once play at the Savoy Hotel with some famous people who you might know the names of: Joanna Lumley, Chris Eubank is a famous boxer, and one of the BBC newsreaders. That was for a charity event, and I was playing piano there, welcoming people into the venue. I also, more recently, did some work off my own back, because I decided that the radio industry needed a good library of royalty-free beds. So I have been making, for the last 2 years on and off, my pride and joy, these what I call shorts, anywhere from 5 to 60 seconds long. And I've had no help with this. And there's a financial institution in the UK called Barclays Bank. And they approached me about them, having heard about me through somebody else. And they use them, which is my claim to fame recently, in some online presentations. So I feel quite good about that, you see.
We are still talking about music, I'm led to believe.
Yes, this is music.
The terms you're using are very foreign to me. I'm not a musician. The only thing I play, apart from the fool, is the harmonica. So those terms those terms sound very, very new to me. So I'm glad that we are still on the music thing, you know?
Oh, definitely music.
So Barclays hired
Barclays you. Bank. Yeah, I have over 100 of these at the moment.
Congratulations, my brother.
Oh, thank you.
These are rented, they're sold.
You know, I understand that students don't have much money. So there's a free version for students and there's a paid version for not students. I know the value of these things. Otherwise, people pirate your material. I'd rather they get them through legitimate means, you know. So I have these things and they liked a couple of them and they use them. And I'm trying to get word of mouth out to other stations and so on for people to use them for ad breaks and IDs and all kind of things, because quite rightly, I'm proud of what I've done.
Let me say congratulations.
I appreciate that.
There is a wide world out there and music is always needed. Companies are always going up and they need little fills like those.
I see.
I would like to say to the listening public, if you're looking for music, regardless of where you are in the world, give this guy a buzz. How can you be contacted, by the way?
I am very prevalent on social media, particularly Twitter, more so Facebook as I get out of my hatred of the social platform. But my website is simply andrelouis.com, which we can spell for you at some point in the program and you can then go and have a look. Google me. If you Google me, I'm very much the first result.
You specialize in the piano. Any other instrument?
I can play a bit of drums, a bit of percussion, but primarily keyboards as such.
What attracted your attention to tickling the ivories?
I think I was given my first toy keyboard at 2 or 3 years old and it just never left really. I just carried on playing and did my own thing. And I did study formally at school, but when I left school, I think I promptly forgot everything I learned. And I set out to become something unique where possible.
Is there any particular pianist you thought of patterning yourself on?
Oh, I could never play like him, but I love Chick Corea. That guy is just a legend. And if I ever get a chance to, before I die, jam with the guy, then I'm going to take that opportunity.
I thought you were going to say Liberace.
No, no. I'm a jazz man.
Okay. So right now, where are you playing when you're in England?
I don't have a regular gig, although I'm working with a band called Pan Fusion a lot of the time, and I'm having them learn a track or two of mine. It's owned sort of by a guy called Wade Austin from Trinidad. Mm-hmm. He lives and works, breathes.
Any Steel Pan connection there?
Yeah, absolutely. And my father is also a Steel Pan teacher.
All right.
Yeah, we got together and we did this thing. Actually, I played in Brixton Hootenannies recently. Some of you may have heard of Hootenannies. It was quite a good venue. We had a really enjoyable evening. But I'm teaching the band a couple of my tunes, and it's really great. You know, I said before I die, I would love to do a few things. One of them is to be featured in the Big Book. Or the real book. The real book is what every jazz musician has to know by the time they're about 58 and plays all these things. And I've written a couple of things that I would like to get featured in this book. And the other one is to have a couple of my pieces played live anywhere and heard by a lot of people.
How old are you now?
I'm only 32. I've got a ways to go.
You ever sit and regretted in those years that you don't have sight?
No. Because if I did that, I would always be wondering and thinking and not sleeping well and going, if I had this and did that. And the reason I don't is because part of it is I've always wanted to drive. I could drive myself to my own gigs and not rely on people and transport and things. But I plan to raise enough money somehow, don't ask me how, to be one of the first in the UK to get a self-driving car from Google or whoever comes out with them first. I love the idea of that. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's not a worry because if they're manufacturing these now, then, you know, by the time they hit the consumer, or in the case of me, they will be really well created and the software won't crash, which means the car won't crash. You can't put something like that on the streets if it's half. I can't say that word, can I? You know what I mean. You know, half formed, if you will. So it's really important that people adopt them and don't worry about them. And I intend to do just that.
Well, I don't think it's going to be long before you
have
a car that can drive you.
That's it. That's exactly what I intend to get.
I'm told in England now they have them that tell you how to park, where not to park, what is in front of you and things like that. So just a little bit more added to that and you will be there.
That's exactly it.
But please let me know when you're coming down the road.
Oh, certainly. I'll wave my cane out of the window at you.
You're speaking of cane. Do you use the cane a lot?
I do when I'm in England. I have not much needed it here because I know my way around anyway. So I always carry it because, you know, I may get stranded one day or something may happen. So I always carry it no matter where I'm going. It's just one of those things. But yeah,
How did you feel when you got your first cane and you were being taught what to do, how to do? How you felt?
I think it was quite an interesting and novelty experience. I was a child, so you just got to wave a stick around for a while until you learn how to use it properly. Mm. As the older I got, the more important it became and gave me independence and allowed me to do anything that I wanted to do and still continue to do. I mean, I flew here alone. I didn't fly with any family. I came across the water, you know, from pillar to post, as it were. And here I am today.
We have got something in common because I love to fly.
I love to fly. I just think it's not done enough.
And I love to fly alone. Whenever I travel alone 99.9 times.
Yeah.
And people wonder. I remember I went to the headquarters of the Salvation Army many years ago, I think it's in London.
Hmm.
And the general, I miss him by a day, he had left for Wales. And when his ADC saw me, he had seen me a few months or so before in Barbados, and when he saw me and he asked me if I was traveling alone, I said yes. You could cut the silence with a knife.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, I wondered what thoughts were going through his mind. Is this a madman traveling all over Barbados here alone? But I just love traveling alone. I get great joy out of it.
I do too.
What words of advice would you want to give to someone who has just lost his or her sight?
There are a lot of organizations out there for you. Have somebody, if you don't feel comfortable, to Google them or search your engine of choice. And don't be put off or think that you have to shelter yourself away in your house, because we hear a lot about these kind of things in certain countries where now that the person is blind or has been blind all their life, they get stuck in a basement and never heard of again. That is complete and utter rubbish. Don't let anybody do that to you. Don't do it to yourself. Be positive, stay positive, and ask for help when you need it. Don't be too hard on yourself. Take help when it's needed. You can do it if you want to.
I say amen to that. What about those persons out there who make themselves our enemies by saying, why are you on the street? You should be one coop up someplace or some institution. Oh, here's not the place for you. And try to drive some nails into our coffin, as I would say, or discourage us from being a member of society. What would you want to say to such persons?
I just give them the look. And that look says, the more you push me in this direction, the more I'm going to push in the other direction. Because there's nothing you can say to stop me. There's nothing you can do to me to stop me. And I will continue to be myself, and you will not stop me. It's as simple as that.
Well said.
Get out of my way.
What has it been like bringing up a family as a person not only with sight, but a person who is disabled? But you put the emphasis on loss of sight.
Interesting. We've had some cool and unusual challenges along the way. My wife is fully sighted, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been incredibly supportive and wonderful from the get-go. And I love her more than I can possibly tell you in this little short time we have. She's phenomenal. And together we've done, I hope anyway, we've worked some wonders. My children are beautiful. They both have sight. And that was one of the first things I asked her when they were born is, do they have sight? Is this genetic? Is there a problem? She's like, no, they're fine. It's only you.
One was enough.
Uh-huh. One is enough. And I have two of them, 5 and 2, and they're both perfectly healthy, and that's great. So,
is there anything in life that you would want for your children?
Yeah. Drive early, but not too early. Be happy, because when you drive early, you can drive me around. Make a good name for yourself, and don't let anything step in your way that you don't want in your way.
I find that every so often you visit Barbados. What is bringing you here? And please don't say the airplane.
No, I wasn't going to. I was going to say I haven't been here in 18 years, and I think that it's time to come back. Because, you know, you can save up and you can say, I'll wait a bit longer till flights are cheaper. You can put it off for years.
Mm.
I had to sell a Fender Rhodes suitcase to get here, which I'd had for a long time. But I think it was worth it, because for 2 weeks away in the sun and to see my family that, you know, some of them are getting older. If I don't do it now, I never will, you see. So it's really important to come back and remake those ties. Last time I was here, I was in my teens. Now I'm in my 30s. I missed my whole 20s. That seems kind of ridiculous when
but
I look back.
Put it this way, you were preparing to come.
Yes.
Would you want to sell Barbados as you move from place to place? Is it a country that's worthwhile visiting?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I came, I think, with some preconceived notions because of what I told you before about people sheltering people with disabilities. I wasn't sure how I would be treated. And I've been treated as normally as I would be in the UK. I was pleasantly surprised, if you will. So you just don't know until you go somewhere.
We have a challenge in Barbados, and we are working on it feverishly. Lack of enough access. Our sidewalks are narrow. Lots of the hotels.
You don't have any tactile paving.
Pardon me, sir?
You have no tactile paving at any of your road crossings.
There you are.
This bothers me.
Our elevators, lots of them are not labeled, and you go into some business places, including some of the hotels, government places. There's no ramp, there's no bathroom facilities for the disabled. What would you want to say to those people who are dragging their feet in providing the correct kind of facility for us?
Right. Well, relating to the UK, because I don't know stats for Barbados, but these will be found. In the UK alone, there are about 10 million blind people, and that's only blind people. I don't know about other disabilities. By cutting us out, you are losing billions every year.
Amen to that.
You are foolish and ridiculous to do this to yourselves. Because, quite frankly, if you don't, I'll go somewhere else.
Amen.
You fail. You lose. And that is all.
Well, they couldn't want it plainer than that. What is your next big step in life, my brother?
I will bring up my children to the best of my ability. I will show them I love them, that I care for them, and that they will always be important to me. I will continue to find a job, and I will continue to produce music until I physically cannot do so any longer.
I've got a close friend who is working here with me, Dennis Johnson. I can afford to call his name. He wouldn't be annoyed. He always tells me that Stevie Wonder know his girls by playing with their hands. He asked me if I do the same thing. I play with their hands, and I don't know if I know them by playing their hands, but I play with their hands when they allow me, and I like to listen to their voices.
Mm-hmm.
How do you distinguish the beautiful ladies one from the other? Well, you know your way, regardless of what happens.
You know what? The best way to do it, and it's not taboo, is to ask for a hug. Because when you have a hug, you get a full body contact, and it's not illegal. You know, it's the closest you can get without anything else. And it's great, because you can hug anybody in the street, on the beach, on a bus, if they let you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the quickest way not to get slapped.
Unlike you, I have a challenge with the hugging business, and I'll tell you why. I wouldn't hug a woman unless she hugged me.
That's all right.
I'll tell you why. There's a lady I met, I think she's still alive, and this is before I adopt this special thing about hugging. And I hug her, and she told me to hug her. But you don't have to tell Carson a small thing like that twice. I never attempt to hug her again, nor any woman, unless she do the hugging.
That's okay.
If you hug me, sweetheart, I'll hug you the whole day.
Yes, exactly.
But I'm not going to start the ball rolling. You know, I don't have anything against women. I love them so much that one was my mother.
Mm.
I had 9 aunts at one time. I've got 2 beautiful sisters and a lot of female friends. But I don't take chances like those twice. I love people. But as long as I see where you're coming from, well, it's a different ball game, you know?
Oh, no, you don't go and hug somebody just like that. It's about asking first. Like, can I shake your hand? Can I give you a hug?
Mm.
If you just walk up to someone, they're probably likely to punch you across the room, and rightly so.
Any performance in Barbados, sir?
I hope to. I brought my keyboard over, but I haven't taken it out of the case in the week I've been here.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd love to.
Would you want to do something for a charity if the occasion arose? Or go to a home for the disabled and do a little thing?
If I could do that, and if it benefits people, I'm all for it. And it's also a very good networking opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
2 for 1.
And you're going back home how soon?
Next week, Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible overnight flight.
What is the first thing you hope to do when you get back to Great Britain?
Oh, because I hate unpacking, I'm going to do it first. Then I will eat.
I think I question you off air about Bajan food. That's going to be our final question, or there about maybe one more. What do you like about eating in Barbados? What are the things that you love to eat?
Oh, boy. Well, you see, it's hard to get roti in England that tastes good. And I came here and I went to Chaffet. I know some people don't like their rotis, but because England is England and Barbados is Barbados,
mm-hmm.
I'll eat roti anywhere you put it in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
So I came there and I ate that, and it was lovely. Oh, and Eddie's ribs.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What about cooking? Can you cook a meal?
Me, I live in the oven and the microwave.
Very good.
You know, I'm not going to lie. I love washing up. So you can hire me to wash up. I'm fine with that.
Well, I got a PhD in washing up, too.
Yeah, that's me, too.
Because I wash up wherever I go. I go to England. I go to Boston. I go to New York. And whenever I can.
Yeah.
I like to wash up.
That's me.
And look who's here with her little bit of news LaToya.
Good morning, Carson. Good morning, listeners. Any persons requesting handymen such as plumbers, painters, electricians, masons, carpenters, and tilers, feel free to call the Carson Small Foundation at 432-7669 or Mr. Small at 430-7300. One large industrialized umbrella, stoves, refrigerators, toaster ovens, computers, beds of all sizes, dining room suites, living room suites, 6 upright chairs, wheelchairs, walkers, chest of drawers, televisions, playpens, soft children's toys, double lightweight stroller, food items, one bookshelf, children's clothing for a 4-year-old boy, a 16-month girl, and a 5-month boy. Services rendered, tutors for math and English, lawn and garden care, massage therapy, delivery services, groceries, letters, etc., inventory, stock taking, customer service specialist, property caretaker, house sitter. Please contact Mark A. Stewart, 244-8867-827-1130 or 422-5965. Thank you.
Thank you, a friend of the disabled fraternity, LaToya, always tipping in with her bits and pieces of what you can do and where you can do it. Well, my brother, it was good chatting to you for the last, 25 minutes or thereabout, and I sincerely hope you enjoy the rest of your visit here in Barbados. My very special and honored guest today was...
Andre Louis. Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
I am Carson Small. Have a wonderful day. Technical operations by the Wonder Boy himself, the Minister of Smiles, Brother John Stout. And to bring this program to an end, here is a piece of music by the maestro himself, Andre Louis, a welcome break.